Here's a reading from Edgar Cayce. Do you all know Edgar Cayce? Does anybody know? Consider a field of corn. In the grain of corn, there is life. A person plants it in the soil, works it. He reaps the harvest. Not everyone selects the same kind of corn. Not everyone plows it alike. Not everyone sows it alike. Not everyone reaps it alike. Yet in each of these cases, it brings forth the very best there is. It is the God or the life within each grain that the person is seeking. It sustains his body and produces enough seed to raise more. That's religion. All right. Today's mystic, you know, we're doing this theme of mystics every month, and today's mystic is Edgar Cayce. I did not know much, if anything, about Edgar Cayce before today. What a fascinating man, larger than life, mystery upon mystery. I had never heard his name until I started working here like 5 years ago. And there was a group over at the Fillmore Center that would meet and discuss his readings. And I didn't really know his story until preparing for this morning. Looking at his story, I was mesmerized. I was transfixed. He grew up in rural Kentucky, small town, family of farmers, born in 1877. At 4 years old, he was with his grandfather. His grandfather was on a horse. They had just been working in the fields or something. And there's a pond on the farm. And his grandfather's on this horse. And his foot, as he's trying to go get the horse some water in this pond, his foot gets stuck in the stirrup and something happened. And he ends up drowning that day. And this little four-year-old watches this happen. So that's a rough start to life. That's a reminder that life can be full of difficulty and trauma. But what I found fascinating about this story is that little Edgar told his mother and his grandmother that he could often see, physically see, his grandfather, and they would talk back and forth. And Edgar could see through him as well. His mother and his grandmother took that in stride. They thought nothing of it. They would not shame him or make him feel like he was delusional or crazy. They believed him. And this was not the only case where people believed Edgar Cayce and took him at his word. But think about how quickly the story of Edgar Cayce might have been shut down if his folks said, "We don't know what you're talking about," right? Put that away. Might never have an Edgar Cayce without that kind of encouragement. That's lesson number one. As a young student, he was in school. His teacher noticed that he was really having a hard time with his studies. And so the teacher asked his father, "Help this boy learn how to spell some of these words." And his father did, teaching him how to study and learn these words. Edgar was still struggling. And he asked his father for a few minutes so that he could compose himself, rest, and he fell asleep on the book. Have you heard this story? You know the story? Fell asleep on the book. You know the story. And when his father came back, he knew the book. He knew what page something was on. He knew this. He knew the book. Later on in life, so maybe he had a photographic memory, maybe he had, you know, but there was something really mystical about this experience. And it's one of many stories where he's asleep and magical things happen. One time he had a childhood injury, you know, typical kind of childhood injury with a ball and all this, but something happened, really, really injured himself. And he was hysterical, couldn't stop laughing, couldn't still himself, couldn't just rebound from this. They sent him home. And as he fell asleep when he was home that day, he diagnosed himself verbally and he he spoke a treatment. His parents heard, they did the treatment, and he recovered. Sleep becomes a constant avenue of his insights and readings throughout his life. He was a medium. He was connected to something deep in that sleep. And I have a whole nother sermon about the relationship of silence in this story. Right? Often, or maybe always, when he was ready to give a reading, and most of his readings in the early days were about healing and wholeness, he'd say, "We see the body." When he was ready to be that, you know, that person, he'd say, "We see the body." Maybe the "we" was an angel that appeared to him as a child who told him that his prayers were answered. He was out walking in the woods and he saw this angel, and she said to him, "Your prayers are answered. What do you want, Edgar?" And he said, "I want to help people." And his whole life was dedicated to helping people. So he grows up, and as a young adult, as a young man, he's working with his father selling insurance, and he develops laryngitis. Can't sell insurance if you got laryngitis, right? And a hypnotist happened to be in town, and they connected. And the hypnotist tried some treatments on him, and he would get a little bit better, but it would reappear, and it was going back and forth. And soon it was determined that Edgar should treat himself, which he did. And he got better. He moved to the big city, Bowling Green, was married, had some children, including one child who died unexpectedly. He undertook photography. He was a really good photographer. He worked at a bookstore. He did a number of things, but his readings continued. He'd help people here and there. He'd heal them. He'd diagnose them, and he'd offer a treatment verbally. And soon word began to spill out. People began to know Edgar Cayce. Newspapers started covering him. He wasn't charging for those readings. He was just helping people out. He would have access in this dream state to medical terminology and treatments that he had no access to otherwise. He was scared of this power. He didn't really embrace it early on until his wife got TB. His beloved wife got TB. And the doctors treated her. And finally, the doctor said, "I've got nothing else. She maybe has a week to live." They talked. They agreed that he would do a reading for her. He diagnosed a treatment. He prepared a treatment, spoke a treatment. They tried it, and miraculously, she was healed, and she lived. It was in that moment that he became comfortable with his powers. Over time, he became a healer, a psychic. He moved to Selma. People were contacting him all the time. And, as these things kind of happen, people were trying to get him to monetize it, right? You got a gift. Let's find out what's going to happen in the cotton market. Or let's go to Texas and try to find some oil. Whenever he tried that, it didn't really work out too well. He was here to help people out. So I'm watching this documentary. I know nothing about Edgar Cayce. I'm watching this documentary and thinking, this is like a cross-cultural experience for me. This is like going to another land and learning about this stuff. I read obscure German Protestant theologians. I read African-American liberation theologians and feminist theologians. And I live in this interfaith, interspiritual world where we focus on social justice and stuff. What can I say about all this? This guy is weird. And I thought, that's what I can say about this. Be weird. Stay weird. Stay open to the mysteries upon mysteries, the paradoxes that are the essence of the spiritual life. I mean, seriously, this world can be tough. It can be hard. You make some money, you buy a house, you pay the bills. Capitalism can zap you, can tell you that you're in competition with one another. And whoever has the most toys at the end wins. We saw that this week, right? It was a tough week. It was a tough week for folks. Two beloved celebrities took their own lives this week. Suicide is a public health concern. Depression overtook them. It's not merely political oppression and economic exploitation that ruin people, though that does. Suffering, guilt, fear, grief destroy us too, because they isolate us. They tell us a false narrative that we're separated from one another. So in this world, nothing is more important than to find people who will stand by you in trouble and stay right there. Bear our burdens with us. We at Unity have a saving message. And what is it? You're okay. You're okay. If you saw an angel at a young age and the angel spoke to you and said your prayers are answered and you have a special gift, great. The table is open. The doors are open. When one of the members of this community said to me 4 or 5 years ago, I can read auras looking at people's pupils or whatever it was. I was like, what are you saying to me right now? I can tell you about eschatology and the liberationist theologians of Central America, but I don't understand what you're saying right now about pupils and auras and colors. And then I was like, Roger, you know about Latin American liberation theology, but right now, if you listen, you're going to learn something new. So quiet your mouth. Keep it shut, open your ears, and listen to this person as she tells you her experience. And I received that as a gift. I still don't understand it. It's not exactly my love language, but I'm glad I heard about it. Be weird. Stay weird. Do your thing. When somebody at a youth rally a couple of years ago said, listen, Roger, I'm going to take this huge, enormous singing bowl, and I'm going to put it on this youth's head while the youth is kneeling, and I'm going to bang it. And the vibrations are going to go down, and it's going to heal the spine and heal the anxiety and all this. I was like, I don't even know what you're saying to me right now, but bang away. Do your thing. He was weird, Edgar Cayce. He was outside my experience. And over time, you know, when I'd read him saying something about Atlantis, I was like, I got to shut this down now for a minute. I'm going to take a break. But that was his experience too. This guy was from the Disciples of Christ. You know that denomination, First Christian Downtown? He was from Kentucky. He read the Bible all the time. He taught Sunday school. But he stayed open. He stayed open. A diversion. This Ohio fellow introduced Cayce to metaphysical thought sometime around like 1923, I think. I'm not sure what year. He said, do a metaphysical reading. Do a metaphysical reading for me. And Cayce said, okay, I will. I haven't done this before, but I will. And he's doing this reading for him. And Cayce's talking about past lives and reincarnation. And when Cayce comes back from his sleep, he's like, there's no way I could have told you about that. I don't deal in that stuff. But he said, you did. So Lammers, this guy from Ohio, and he kept talking. And Cayce embraced this metaphysical idea. These metaphysical ideas. And so many of his readings are grounded in that kind of spirituality. But Lammers said to him once, I read the Bible too, Lammers said. And it's my feeling that Matthew 5 is the Constitution. And the Sermon on the Mount is the Declaration of Independence. Now that I can get into. Now that we can start talking about. That is so good. That is so brilliant. So whatever your sacred text is, I don't care which one it is. Doesn't matter to me what it is. But whatever your sacred text is, find out in your own spirit, what's the Constitution? What's the Declaration of Independence of my sacred text? Write that down. That's your assignment. For me, given how I read the Bible and how I approach the Bible, that Exodus story is the Constitution. Everything that you need to know about the biblical witness is founded in that Exodus story. Because what they are, these Hebrews are being oppressed, they're enslaved, they want their freedom, they want their liberation. And in their cries, the God who hears the cry of the oppressed responds, and they find a path to freedom, right? And I would say, I would agree with this fellow Lammers, whoever he was, that the Sermon on the Mount and the rest of Matthew 5 is the Declaration of Independence. So much depends on that. Primarily the Sermon on the Mount, but so much rests on Jesus' words in the rest of Matthew 5. You've heard it said, love your neighbor. Is it difficult to love your neighbor? I mean, it can be annoying at times, but is it really difficult to love your neighbor? Right? Sometimes. But that was the essence of one bit of teaching. But Jesus comes along and says, not only love your neighbor, but love your enemy. That flips everything upside down. All right. That's enough of that. I could go on and on. Once Casey is comfortable with metaphysics, he writes and writes and writes. Well, he doesn't write, but he does these readings, and somebody writes. 15,000 of these readings are recorded. And here's what I want to leave you with. Here's what I want to leave you with. One of those readings, Edgar Casey says, the first lesson, presumably for somebody who's on a spiritual journey, but the first lesson for 6 months should be one, one, one. One. Oneness of God, oneness of humans' relationship with each other, oneness of force, oneness of time, oneness of purpose, oneness in every effort. Oneness, oneness, oneness. That's what I want to leave you with. That's the idea. That's the idea I wanted to share with you today. It is a matter of faith. All of this bit about silence and stillness and sleep, it can be really scary to be still and silent. But that's a matter of faith. I'm not talking about your creed. I'm not talking about your statements of belief. I'm talking about your faith. Your faith says that you belong, that you've got a place in this world, and that you make it better because of who you are in all your weirdness, in all your brokenness, in all your completeness, in all of it, the paradox and the mystery upon mystery of all this. Pray with me, if you will. Oh God, we are one with you. You have made us one with you. You have taught us that if we are open to one another, you dwell in us. Help us to preserve this openness and to fight for it with all our hearts. Help us to realize that there can be no understanding where there is mutual rejection. Oh God, in accepting one another wholeheartedly, fully, completely, we accept you. And we thank you, and we adore you, and we love you with our whole being, because our being is your being. Our spirit is your spirit. Fill us then with love, and let us be bound together with love as we go our diverse ways, united in this one spirit, which makes you present in the world, and which makes you witness to the ultimate reality that is love. Love has overcome. Love is victorious. Stay weird, friends. God bless you.